Welcome to the GBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised from our Sunday sermon. I'm your host, Matt Willis, and with me for the Big Three, my partner in crime,
Jess Baker.
Yes, Jessica Baker.
Hello, Matt.
Hello, my dear friend. How are you going?
Yeah, good. You're struggling with words today.
Listen, it's been a day. I'm writing a sermon.
Very good.
And the English language has just, it's left me. I am not articulate. I'm not eloquent.
This podcast is going to be great.
A fumbling mess. It's a beautiful
thing. Do we have
thing.
a little tidbit, a little taster for your sermon?
A little taster? No, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself.
He doesn't know. I don't know what I'm preaching on.
No, guys, it's not. I have full understanding about what's happening.
Alrighty, we believe you.
Listen, the Spirit will lead. Spirit will lead. Mm-hmm. He will speak. And I'm just a vessel here. All right.
That's good. Yeah, keep going with that tactic, and we'll see where it ends up.
Anyway, a little bit less about me and more about you. Mm-hmm. Currently on holidays.
Yes.
A life of leisure.
I am having a life of leisure. A bit too much leisure. I've now picked up the full time job of 8 hours daily of Netflix.
Yeah. How's that going?
Yeah, I'm smashing through Gilmore Girls. Like, there's no tomorrow.
What a
time. Started 2 weeks ago. Now I'm on the final season. So. Yeah, it's a rough time for me in my life. Mm. Today I got out and about, which was fun.
I've seen the sunlight.
I have been on the sand on the beach, which is freezing cold. Got in the water a little bit. But yeah, just a lot of doing nothing.
Yeah.
So wonderful. If anyone needs anything done, I'm around.
I'm here for that.
Got 6 weeks off.
With a dog in tow, though, because, you know, you do have a needy canine companion.
A very needy canine companion, yes. I managed to get in about a 10-minute shower today. Did a bit of control crying in the crate while I got a shower. So that was really good.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing. As a parent of actual humans, I'm not sure if I appreciate the parallel.
Look, to be honest, I'm terrified for real children. I understand they're harder. I'm really struggling.
In my mind, you get a dog, you lock it outside, it knows its place. You can't do that with a baby. And yet I hear things like controlled crying and strong attachment and secure attachment.
Yeah, I don't know if most people do just lock their dogs outside and let them wither away.
Oh, well, not wither away, but just know their place.
You would let your dog wither away.
Just know their place.
His place is in my heart.
In my heart and in my home and completely consuming my social life.
Look, I just think I'm keeping it real. Everyone else struggles with these things. I'm just voicing them. So that's how I want to make myself feel better.
It's a wonderful
thing. That everyone else is on the same page. But I think I am struggling.
So is this holiday leave or is this parental leave?
I guess it's parental leave. 6 weeks
potato,
of parental leave.
Potato.
Which it blows my mind. I'm in week three of my annual leave. And I just think teachers get 6 weeks off every year.
Oh, my gosh.
And not in the thick of winter, in the thick of summer.
You are opening a can of worms
here. I know I am, but how could you? Wow, life.
The views of Jessica Baker are not the views of Guymie Baptist Church. Disclaimer.
You say that every week now.
No, because riots will be at the front tomorrow.
Teachers work hard, but
they
how amazing hard. To have 6 weeks off in summer.
We value you. We see you.
Yeah.
You matter.
Oh, I don't want to do your job. Yuck. I can barely handle like one dog.
I feel like we haven't even started the podcast and yet we've digressed. So I'm just going to bring it in, if I may.
You may.
So today on the Big Three, we're actually doing something different. It's a fourth question because on Sunday, we celebrated the baptism of five members of our community, members of our youth group and our young adult, our youth leaders. Five of them got baptized. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing night. If you were not there, I say you miss out. You missed out. It was incredible. We had family and friends of those being baptized. We had supper afterwards. It was such a time. Loved it. And Mark Rader shared a reflection and I guess a word of encouragement to those being baptized about what this means and kind of how this will shape their faith and what they need to do in terms of nurturing their faith moving forward after this really significant declaration of the decision that they've made. And if you want to hear that message, if you missed it or you just want to hear it again, because let's face it, it was a cracker, you actually can hear that again through our regular GBC Sermons podcast. But today we wanted to do a fourth question around baptism. It feels like every single time we have a baptism service, there's a lot of questions around, well, what is it? What's the significance? questions. Why should I do it? So we want to have a sit down with Mark Rader to kind of unpack that a little bit more for us and for our church. But before we get into that, Jessica Baker, you got dunked.
I did.
Yes. Yes, you did. Here at GBC, I believe.
I did, yes.
What's your baptism story? Any reflections, any thoughts?
It was a good time. It was 2016, I think.
The year was 2016.
Takes me back. And it was amazing. I got dunked by Esther Pratton, who was like my little spiritual guru at the time and still kind of is. I'd been really struggling with where my faith was for my whole life before. I mean, I was only 20 when I got baptized, so it's not a very long life. But
it's long for you.
But in the year leading up to baptism, had like fully committed to God and was just super stoked on Jesus, and really just wanted to declare to my new church family, because I hadn't been around in GBC that long, but I was like, no, this is my home. This is where I want to follow Jesus and want everyone to know. And it was the best.
Yeah, loved it.
It was such a good time.
That's amazing. Well, I think there's only one thing missing, and that is Mark Rader himself, for us to be able to get into the fourth question. Mark Rader, welcome to the Big Three.
Thanks, Matt. Hi, Jess.
Hi, Mark.
Rader, what's your baptism story? He says, assuming that the Baptist pastor has a baptism story.
Right. Well, I mean, my dad was a Lutheran minister, so I was baptized 3 weeks after I was born, kind of the long white dress, kind of thing. And then had started to go through confirmation classes when my dad ended up leaving the Lutheran church. And over the next several years, we were part of a very different community of faith. My mom and dad had both been influenced by the Charismatic Renewal.
Yeah.
And so we ended up it was former Anglicans, but like quite charismatic. And in that context, my faith kind of became my own. And so I ended up getting baptized in that community of faith down at a local little pond, really. There's kind of a little reserve, little park kind of thing with a body of water. And so we would kind of go down, I don't know, every kind of spring and baptize people. So yeah.
It's a good time of year.
Yeah. So I got baptized in, I think it would have been 19 maybe.
Did you bust out the same white dress or?
No, it probably would have been long enough. You ever notice those
I had
8 feet long.
Yeah.
Is there a reason for that? Where does that come from?
I don't know.
Okay, great.
No idea.
You both had one? Don't know? That's fine.
I was too young to ask when I had it.
True.
Never looked back. So yeah, so I, and I felt that what my parents did for me in having me baptized was, shall we say, legitimate, that it was my choice of baptism as a young adult. That was kind of my baptism.
Yeah.
So that whole question of was I baptized a second time, I'd probably answer no. I was only baptized as an adult in the sense of making a public confession of faith. Yeah.
Well, right on. Well, we're already starting to unpack what baptism is. Let's just get in and tackle the fourth question. So, Mark, I mean, you've already touched on the fact that there are different views, different denominations. Baptism is, I guess, there are different ideas about what it is, what it means, and the significance of it. So I guess we wanted to take the opportunity today to just unpack that for us as a communion of faith, as a Baptist church, as believers. What is the significance of baptism, and why do we continue to practice it today?
The significance of baptism sits primarily in the fact that it's one of two things that Jesus commanded his followers to do together, the other being the Lord's Supper, right? Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you remember my death.
Yeah.
And so from very early on, there was a sense that we do the Lord's Supper together, but also, in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so there was this sense very, very early on in the Christian communities of faith that baptism was one of those centerpieces of faith. You see it played out in the book of Acts in particular, whenever, it's kind of an extraordinary time in the church's life. But when people came to faith, what should we do next? Repent and be baptized, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. So the significance of it sits primarily in in following the command that Jesus gave as a mark of those who've entered into the community of faith. That's probably it's broadest, it's simplest. And then there's kind of additional levels of, I guess, symbolism within it. You know, so in the New Testament, Paul in Romans 6 talks about being, buried with Jesus through baptism and then raised to life. And so there's this sense of, for that moment you're under the water, assuming you're under the water, that there's this sense of being buried and then raised again to life. I don't think that means that you have to be necessarily totally immersed, although as a Baptist, I think that's a pretty good way forward. We can maybe get onto that later.
Yeah.
but there's also the sense of cleansing. We're very familiar with the idea of water as, a shower or a bath, to cleanse ourselves. And so there's a sense of a symbolic cleansing and preparation.
Yeah.
I haven't done a lot of reading in kind of the Old Testament, the roots of New Testament baptism. So in the Old Testament, they didn't really baptize anybody. Jesus shows up, and by the time he's doing it, John the Baptist is baptizing, and no one's like, what is this strange new thing you're doing? So the understanding of what baptism was seemed to have developed in that intertestamental period. But I think, as I recall, it had to do with the ritual cleanliness, like the cleansing component, right? So John the Baptist is saying, the Lord's coming. You might want to repent and get your life straight. And the baptism was kind of that sense of symbolically preparing for what was gonna take place.
So I'm interested by that then, because there's symbolism in it of a cleansing, of a washing away the old and kind of rising up in you. And you mentioned on Sunday the whole like we're lifted up, and it's kind of like being in the resurrection with Jesus and this new life. So there's symbolism in it, and there's also this declaration of faith attached to it, which is a really pivotal part of baptism. And I've heard a number of people who have been Christians for long periods of time who haven't been baptized kind of ask the question, well, is this relevant for me? Because I make declarations about my faith all the time. Like, some people serve in ministry, they share their faith with others. They're members of this community. They're sewn into this place. And so, they're constantly living out a declaration of faith. And so they're kind of ticking that box, so to speak. And then you've got this symbolism of cleansing and a new life, which we live out every single day. We don't need to, dive into a pool in order to know that that's a truth in our life. So for a believer who's been a believer for a while, Is there room for baptism? Is that still something that they should be considering?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, theologically, I guess you'd have to say no, right?
Ooh, I was not expecting that answer. I was like, oh, he's so going to say yes.
I always keep
classic
people
reader.
In the sense that if someone has made a profession of faith in Christ Jesus and they died right after making that confession of faith, we believe that they are right with God and they'll be in heaven. Like, it's not a multiple choice questionnaire of, did you believe Jesus was your Lord and Savior? Yes, I did. Mm. Were you baptized? Oh, actually, I never got around to it. Oh, man. Love to
so
let
close.
You. So close. So close. But just a few feet of water is really all. Like, so, like, theologically, we would say, no, it's not necessary for, right? Just like celebrating communion isn't necessary.
Yeah.
Right? We believe that both the bread and the juice or wine in some traditions or baptism itself is an outward sign of an inward reality.
Mm.
Right? Like, this is an acting out of something that we believe is kind of that we receive by faith.
Mm.
So a little piece of bread and a little cup of juice on their own do very little for us, right? But there's something about being reminded about why we do this, about what we believe, about the center of our faith, those sorts of things. That's valuable. So theologically, I would say no, there's no necessity for it. But then I think that it does become a question of all the commands of Jesus, this one's pretty dead easy to do. Right? Like,
well, I mean, you weren't in the pool. You weren't in the pool on Sunday. It was cold.
It's a little chilly.
I wouldn't necessarily call it easy. Thank you very much.
Right. Okay. We'll have to get you some waders. So, actually remember hearing a story about a church that had, like, it was a baptistry in the platform,
yeah,
like mm-hmm. ours is, but it was kind of up. So, like, if you imagine our platform and then there was a baptistry on top, like yeah. just underneath our screen, right? But they actually had glass in it.
Oh, and that would be awesome.
Well, and the pastor.
That's not a good view.
Well, the pastor gets in and he used to wear those fishing waders, those hip waders, and they'd come kind of mid-chest.
Okay.
Right, anyway, well, the water was really high, and so someone got in to be baptized and the water spilled over into the waders. So then he baptizes the people, but then he can't walk out with the hip waders on. So he had to kind of undo them. He's just in his undies. So he has to kind of swim out.
Everybody close your eyes.
Yeah, it was very much
one
of those.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
And that's always stood with me. I'm kind of going, you got to be careful about the water level.
Yeah.
And I think boardies are probably safer.
Yeah. Why was he wearing waders? That's outrageous.
Well, because then he didn't have to get wet.
Did he have his, he should have had his full suit on underneath.
Yeah, something.
Do a sermon, do a baptism.
A rookie error indeed. Holy. So,
amazing.
Not sure what that had to do with anything.
Baptism's easy.
The point we're on. Well, you think about, you know, Jesus says, you have heard it said, you do not murder.
Yeah.
You kind of go, okay, good. I'm good on that. And he goes, yeah, except that if you've been angry with your brother, you've basically done the same thing. You're like, oh, okay, that's hard.
Mm.
You know, like the concepts around, and he does the same thing around lust, and he does the same thing, you know, around giving and prayer and, you know, be holy as I am holy. And like all those things that we aspire to, like, man, those are massive tasks. Mm. Be baptized. Oh, I just kind of declare my faith for Jesus, which I say I do all the time.
Yeah.
And I get wet in front of a bunch of people. Like, you know, and there's more to it than that. Mm. But I think of all the things that Jesus commands us to do, like, why wouldn't you do the easy ones first?
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, which is not a very good, you know, good argument. But, and I think sometimes people feel, I think people feel like they're just a bit embarrassed.
Mm.
That they, you know, I've been a Christian for 15 years. I just never got around to it, but now it just feels strange because it's a baptism for like new believers.
Mm.
It's like, well, maybe you just need to get over that a little bit.
Mm.
You know, I remember we had a dad who got baptized and he'd been a Christian for 15, 16, 20 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But part of his decision to do that was so that his kids got to see him make that decision.
Yeah.
I thought that's a good decision to make, to kind of get over ourselves a little bit and kind of go, I probably should have done this years ago. Never got around to it. Cause that's the flip side. It's quite easy. So we kind of put it off. Like it's, you know, we don't kind of get at it and, oh, not the right time, not the right time, not the right time. And then it's been 7 years. Nah, like I know I'm a Christian. So, and theologically, yeah. Okay. You're good. So I think that's tricky in that space, but I think that there is something valuable about taking that step.
In terms of like biblical examples, do we only see baptism happening for new Christians? Like in terms of us feeling like we've missed the boat, yeah, that's the time.
Right. Well, I mean, in the book of Acts, they're like exclusively new Christians, right? Because of the nature of the book.
Yeah.
And the only other examples that we really have, I mean, you've got then the curious questions of, so why did Jesus get baptized?
Yeah,
because it wasn't obviously just symbol.
Yeah,
that's right. You know, so, and it seems that in that case, there was a sense of inauguration of his ministry, right? This was kind of a setting apart of himself for what God had in his life. And it was that kind of deal, more than kind of cleansing of sin and those sorts of things. And then you have the New Testament teaching around baptism, where it speaks about it much more significant terms. But I think most of the New Testament would link it very closely, in part because they had such a clear sense that Jesus was imminently to return. Right? Like when, you know, the ascension texts will say, you know, that the angels say to the disciples, what are you looking up for? Like, you saw him leave, he's going to come back the same way, which doesn't sound like 2,000 years from now. It sounds like it could be any moment in time. The Spirit being poured out was, at Pentecost, was kind of deemed this kind of the beginning of the end of the world, right? This kind of the last age. And so there was a real sense of imminence. So why would you put anything off if Jesus could come back in any moment in time?
Yeah.
You know, let's just get at it. So I'm not sure that the New Testament is helpful for delay in that sense because of the context in which it was written. So,
but again, then that kind of implies like, oh, like if Jesus is coming any minute now, I need to, like you said, I need to get my ducks in a row, baptism, need to tick that one off.
Yeah.
But it, But then, as you was kind of saying, theologically, there's not a sense of urgency that we live in. Mm. So again, like, other than the new believer, mm-hmm. what is the value? What is the value add for someone who, you know, yeah. other than the father who, you know, wants sure. to be an example to his kids? Sure. So it's like, okay, well, if you didn't do it when you first became a Christian, wait until your kids are
yeah.
old enough.
yeah.
Like, what is the value add?
I think there's a couple of things. I mean, I think we shouldn't discount the fact that our public witness can be really encouraging to other
yeah.
people,
yeah.
right? So, like, sure. on Sunday night, we had 5 young people get baptized. Mm. I mean, all their families were there.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it was the particular young person's family, they were all listening to those same stories of lives that are changed. There's something really quite significant, I think, about the example that we present to other people. And you know, often hear people say that just really encouraged at baptisms. Yeah. It's like, well, yeah, of course they are. They're hearing stories about people's lives.
Yeah, it's my story on steroids.
Yeah, very much so. Very much
in a big way.
yeah. My story being what we do to talk about where God's at work.
Yeah.
As opposed to Jessica
Sneaky
having-
Jesus, yeah, I call them.
As opposed to Jessica having a narcissistic
yeah.
moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Every baptism is my story.
My story.
I thought the latter. And I was
Jesus
a little bit
my story, Sneaky Jesus.
Yes, no,
a little
I'm with
segment
you now.
At church.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
For others like Matt who didn't realize that, yeah, I heard it in the former. So
thank you, Mark. Thank you.
So I think that there's that value. I think there's also something about like drawing a line in the sand.
Yeah.
Right. I think for some people who perhaps have had a really dramatic conversion experience, that can often be enough of a line in the sand. Like there was my life before and wow, you wouldn't recognize me because of my life now. Mm. And so their conversion becomes this really significant moment. But I think for many believers, it's a little bit gentler than that. You know, and so you end up with kind of this gentle drift right towards faith, and there are obviously some significant events along the way, like we heard in the testimonies of those young people, you know, church camps in particular, or particularly difficult circumstances that they went through, or key people in their lives, like those sorts of things are part of that general slow drift to faith. But you know, there's something about saying on this date I was baptized.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to I've just kind of always been I've just been a Christian for a long time.
Mm.
You know, like it's like, well, like show me that to kind of go this is the time when I, before friends and family and a community of faith, said this is what I believe and this was what I'm on about. It's kind of like the difference between, you know, a couple that just live together and a couple gets married.
Yeah.
I mean, why bother?
Mm.
Why bother getting married? You know, same tax cuts now, like in terms of all those privileges and stuff, like the stuff that used to be kind of the for marriage.
Yeah.
You can kind of do all that stuff now. It's no big deal. But I think many people would say, no, there's something significant about being married.
Yeah.
You know, now do you have to be like it falls into that kind of weird spot, but it feels a bit the same to me. Like, no, there is something quite valuable about saying on this day, we formalized a relationship that we had with each other. And it didn't change our love for each other.
Yeah.
It didn't change our commitment to each other. But what it was a day when we actually publicly declared it. And there's something about baptism that functions the same way. It was on this day. It didn't change my relationship with Jesus. It doesn't change my commitment level. But it's a day when I went, this is what I believe in. I think there's value in that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good image. I'd never considered it like marriage. But I guess that leads me to another question then, which is that whole idea of, and I've heard this hesitation in people before, like, oh, you know, I'm not ready yet. You know, I'm not the right kind of Christian yet, or I haven't reached that level of perfection. So like what happens if someone falls away after baptism? Like, what does that mean? Because you're saying it's a line in the sand, which is like, no, I'm serious about this. This is what I'm living my life for. But, you know, I know people who have fallen away after baptism. What does that mean?
Well, I think it means that they have reconsidered their commitment to Jesus and have decided that it's not on. I'm not sure that it delegitimizes their statement of faith earlier in the piece. You know, but it is a reminder for them of, yeah, like I took this really seriously.
Yeah.
Which I think is a valuable thing to be reminded of. Mm. You know, and I'm not sure that that's enough of a reason to not.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's like saying, oh, I'm like, you know, if you wait until you're ready, you'll never get married. If you wait until you're ready, you'll never have kids. If you wait until you're ready, you'll never, like,
yeah.
If you're always waiting until you're ready, like, you can't. You can kind of prepare for some of that stuff, but not really. And and to some degree, if I can pick up on the poor theology of
it's not my theology,
but that whole idea of, oh, I'm not the right kind of Christian yet. I remember, this is years ago now, having a conversation with a young lady who'd been baptized, and then she came to me and she said, "Oh, listen, I was wondering if I could get baptized again." I was like, why would you want to be baptized again? Mm. And her answer was basically, well, like, I know more about Jesus now. And I think I understand more fully what I'm doing, and I'm more committed and all that. And I said, listen, if you did that, then what's to stop you from then getting baptized in 6 months and 5 years and 4 years? Like, you just get, it's over and over and over and over and over again. And that implies this subtle theology that it's about us. Mm. Right, that I'm not the right kind of person. I'm not ready for it. Like, you're like, well, what you're declaring is really that Jesus is everything you need. Mm. Like, that's what you're committing to. Right? You're not actually saying that I'm a holy person. That's not the public declaration. You know.
Yeah.
You know, but there is. You know, you're putting you're nailing your colors to the mast. You are saying, I'm going to try to follow Jesus publicly. Yeah. So you can kind of.
Which is what she's kind of done. That story is a good story of, yeah, I made this commitment. I got baptized. Now I know a whole lot more about Jesus, but that's the point. Like, she's been following
You're
Jesus.
Growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Which is how it should be.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there can be a hesitation because then people can call me out on my hypocrisy. Mm. You know, I mean, they probably can anyways. You know, I don't think many people care if you were baptized or not. If you say you're a Christian, you act like a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I don't think that's going to stop anybody. But I think that we want to be careful of that kind of theology.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So,
well, something else that I want to talk about is, like, we're Baptists.
Yes.
So, you know, it's in the name.
Yep.
It's a big deal for us, it seems. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still learning. But, you know, what is the significance of baptism for us as Baptists? Because it plays a role in our membership and being able to kind of be involved in the governance of our church. Mm. And I guess, why is there a difference around the view of baptism when it comes to the different denominations? You were talking about, you know, your experience and how it was very different. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's probably three or four questions in that, but go for it.
Essentially, the big difference between them and why baptism is important for us is essentially because of our view of the church. So if you take, like, the Lutheran church that I was a part of, my parents baptized me because that's what the Lutheran church taught, right? But it was based on their understanding of the church as the community of faith. And so there was a sense that my parents were baptizing me and then I would go through confirmation and confirm what they had done, right? Like, confirm my baptism and the things that were declared over me as a child. But that does suggest that I'm kind of brought in, like, regardless of whether I want to be or not. Like, I'm part of the church because my parents are part of the church.
Yeah.
If I can overstate it that way. In a Baptist ecclesiology, as it's called, right, the whole idea of what we believe about the church, the church is a voluntary gathering of believers, right? So there's nothing making you join the church, right?
Yeah.
So there's a separation of church and state in Baptist churches. That's a fairly important component as well for very similar reasons, because the state can coerce people to go to church.
Yeah.
Right? We are now a Baptist state, so you're going to the Baptist church, you're, you know, and Baptists from very early on, early 1600s is when they showed up. We're all about basically saying, no, the church is a voluntary collection, right? And because it's a voluntary collection, that means things like how you self-identify, right, to enter the church become really important. You can't just say, oh, I live in this street, so I'm obviously a Baptist. They were like, no. Like, do you have a faith in Jesus? Yes, I do. Well, have you been baptized? Oh, yeah, I was baptized as a kid. No. Your parents baptized you.
Yeah.
Have you been baptized? And so they began to baptize people,
or
allow people to become baptized in order that they might make their public confession of faith, right? So it was, and that then allowed them to enter the church because of their view of the church, right? So the Roman Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, some other mainline denominations would be more around that kind of covenant theology that we are all part of the family of God, and our children are therefore part of the family of God right from the get-go. Mm. So baptism in that sense serves kind of like the sign of the covenant in the Old Testament of circumcision of male children at 8 days, right? It was the sign of the covenant. Did they know the law at 8 days? Nope.
Yeah.
Did they understand anything about the sacrifices? Nope. Were they part of the people of Israel? Yes, they were, symbolized through circumcision. Mm. And so for certain denominations, that would be kind of the New Testament. Sorry, that would be the Old Testament parallel for baptism and why baptism for infants is the case, because we're just part of the people of God. So how you view the church then dictates then the role of baptism.
So I understand then the significance of baptism in the way the Baptist church functions, particularly in how it was brought about, this separation of church and state. And so it was a voluntary involvement in the church. Yep. And so there needed to be kind of evidence of that choice. It's 2021, and baptism is still a significant thing in regards of being involved in the membership of GBC as a Baptist church. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Why is that practice still so strongly kept to when, kind of like you said, you know, we can make our declarations of faith in a number of different ways?
There'd be a couple of reasons for it. One would be that, you know, we still believe, you know, I hope that I haven't undersold it, but we believe that baptism is important.
Yeah.
It's a step of obedience. It's what we're called to do. Mm. It's a sign of our commitment. So there's a value to it. But I believe another part of it, in Australia at least, is very much tied to like what makes us legally Baptist churches.
Yeah.
Right. So there's an element where there's a way to conform so that we are, yes, a Baptist church, which is linked to our membership.
Yeah.
So in terms of the organization of the church and the members of the church and what that looks like legally, that becomes part of the wider question.
Okay.
If we just said, no, you know what, we're a Baptist church, but no one has to be baptized anymore to be a member, I think that would call into question, like, can you actually legally call yourself a Baptist church? Those sorts of things. So like it gets quite technical, I think, in that sense, or legal in that sense. Mm. So,
'cause it seems that for us, baptism is more than just the individual making a declaration, but it actually shapes the way in which we function as a community of faith, particularly when it comes to who we allow to kind of be involved in the governance of our church.
Yeah. And listen, we've made some changes in our constitution around the amount of water, right? So like it's, well, in the sense that like kind of hardline Baptist, whatever the case might be, like it's full immersion.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take long for you to think, if someone was on a ventilator, you know, or had oxygen and could not be submerged, I don't think we would be wrong to, you know, pour water on their head and kind of go, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like, I don't think anyone would kind of go, that doesn't count. Mm. Or, you know, I think because of the collapsing of denominational boundaries.
Yeah.
Like I know that we have Anglicans or former Anglicans or whatever you want to say who were baptized as adults, but they only baptized by sprinkling.
Yeah.
So am I going to say to someone who was perhaps baptized as an infant, felt that wasn't sufficient, you know, or came to faith late, was baptized as an adult, and they show up here and I say, listen, there's just not enough water involved. so it became fairly ludicrous fairly early on. We ended up kind of making a few changes in that space. Mm. One of the other aspects of a Baptist understanding of the church, and that is the freedom of conscience, right? So you don't want to do things that are going to go against people's conscience.
Yeah.
And so that kind of worked in our favor in terms of the amount of water.
Yeah.
Because we now have kind of three different categories. So if someone's been immersed, fully immersed in some other denomination, like, we just we're good. Fully sprinkled as an adult, where they've made a they've made a public declaration of their faith, because really it's the public declaration of faith,
not the water.
That's the most important part, right? So we're good with that. Mm-hmm. And we even have a provision for those who were baptized as infants, who went through confirmation, and for whom confirmation, where they publicly declared their faith and confirmed the vows made in their baptism, and for whom to be baptized would be rebaptized.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would therefore go against their conscience to say, okay, then you've made a public declaration of your faith. You can put a date on it.
Yeah.
We're good with that. They need to meet with members of the elders and whatnot in terms of their membership. But we've just kind of done a little bit more thinking around that space. Because ultimately it's not the most important thing.
Yeah.
It's an important part. And it does define, as you say, it's in the name.
So yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So I guess as we kind of wrap up, for someone out there who's listening, who's thinking, I'm a bit on the fence, or is this for me? What would you say?
I'd probably ask them, why wouldn't it be for you?
Always throwing it back.
Yeah,
at
I know. Gosh,
can you come up with a list of reasons why you should not be baptized?
Mm.
And then let's have a talk about those. Because if you say things like, I'm not good enough yet, okay, we need to talk theology and have a conversation about what you really believe.
Yeah.
Because that's not Christianity. Mm. Christianity is not about what we bring to it. So, okay, next.
Yeah.
Check that one out.
Just let me debunk all your ideas.
That's a very different kind of conversation.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think these things disqualify me.
Yeah.
Well, let's go through and see if they do.
Mm.
Right. So, and what that also allows then is you can say, here are the obstacles.
Yeah.
Let's deal with the obstacles.
Mm.
And kind of go from there. So I think it's worth asking why, if you placed your faith in Jesus and you haven't been baptized, I think it's a really good question to say why, what's keeping you from being baptized?
Yeah.
Is it just not having a date to do it? Mm. Well, we can help you there. Right? is it, that I'm just a little bit embarrassed? I don't know. That's a good enough reason.
Yeah.
Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me.
Mm.
So you're not going to obey, as I said, one of the easier things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because you're a little bit, I should have done this years ago.
Yeah.
Make that part of your testimony. So other people who have, make
can
that your first
other
line.
Who
that's
are.
Right. I should have done this years ago. You should too. Yeah. Name and shame. No, that's not really the gospel either. So,
Heavy days.
That's right. But where you end up having that, let's talk about those reasons, and have the deeper conversation about it and go from there. Mm. So.
And you're almost just depriving yourself of the opportunity. It's such an amazing moment. And yes, there's nothing special about the water or whatever. And you're not necessarily at the point in your Christian faith where you know everything and you're so right with God. But just to be able to declare to your church and declare to yourself that this is who you're following. Mm. And it's just such a good time.
Yeah.
And even the full submersion, it's such a I don't know.
There's something powerful in it, isn't
there? Yeah, it is. Yeah. And there is nothing special about the water, but getting fully dunked and coming up and you're like, woo!
Yeah, spitting the water out everywhere because it went up your nose.
Yeah. it's a good time.
Mm.
Now, we didn't ask you, Matt, what's your baptism story?
I haven't been baptized.
I just haven't found the right time. No, I got baptized here at GBC in the old baptistry.
Okay.
I'd been a Christian for a number of years, but I'd never been a part of a church. Okay. So I did faith solo for 5 years.
How did that go for you?
Yeah, not great.
Yeah.
Not great.
Do not recommend.
Would not recommend. We'll talk about that another time. But came here, had never even considered baptism, had never even heard of the concept of adult believers baptism.
Mm.
And then, came here and a year after being at GBC, I got baptized.
Mm.
Coincidentally, here's a little side story, a little cute one for the romantics out there. My wife, Samantha, got baptized on the same night. We didn't really know each other, but we both got baptized on the same night. That date is actually our wedding anniversary. Oh, where the Spirit leads. So if you've got hesitation about baptism, it may
lead you to
your
future spouse.
Oh, Jesus, bringing people together.
The views of Matt Willis. Yeah. Are the views of-
yes! Finally.
But yeah, just saying.
That is adorable. I love that so much.
Yeah, me too.
And also what you've got tattooed on your arm.
And it is now
so
tattooed on our
arms. So you have
your
baptism tattoo. Yeah. I didn't know that. Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, well, we're cute. We're cute.
That's cute.
We're in love. It's a beautiful thing. Well, Raida, thanks so much for that. Like baptism, it's something that we talk about. Mm. It's something that obviously we witness.
Yeah.
But I think it's helpful to just kind of get the backstory a little bit and wrap our heads around it. I think there are lots of people who probably saw what happened on Sunday, were encouraged and now asking the question, well, is this for me?
Mm. The answer is yes.
And the answer is yes. The answer is just yes. So yeah, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right, Jessica Baker. Mm. Jessica Baker. I mean, he was preaching to the converted, is that what we say? Because
we all know it's awesome.
Yeah, we have been there. What's the thing that kind of stood out the most for you that Raida was kind of sharing there?
All of that kind of nitty gritty about membership and baptism stuff, I actually had no idea about. Mm. I didn't know you had to be baptized to be a member or to be in the upper management of the church.
Upper management.
And so that was just interesting. I didn't know. So, what about you?
Yeah, I think just like the history of the Baptist church, I've got to admit, like the fact that it was like to be involved in the Baptist church was a voluntary thing and that the separation of church and state, I was a little bit proud. I was
liked that.
Look at us being progressive.
I'm a Baptist because my parents were Baptist, but now I'm proud to be Baptist.
But no, I loved that. And so, and I can then see the significance of baptism in kind of, as people kind of join to then take that step of now that I've chosen this.
Yeah.
Here it is for this community that I've chosen to be a part of to see and to hold me accountable to. Mm. It like that feels, it's given me a new layer to baptism that I didn't know about before. So
Also just to be a youth leader, like a proud youth leader. I don't know if you were there, saw me up the front taking photos, like proud mum. Oh my gosh, the tears were flowing.
Yes. Yes, they were.
It's just amazing. Like we've seen these like young people walk through their faith. We've seen them in their tricky times and we've seen them have that moment of like, I think I want to get baptized.
Yeah.
And it's just so good to watch. It's amazing.
It was. Yeah. It was incredible. Well, thank you, Jessica Baker.
Thank you.
We will catch you next time for the Big Three.
Yes.
Well, if you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure you're there at one of our services this Sunday and that you snap the Slido QR code before the sermon to get involved. If you've enjoyed the Big Three podcast today, take the time to give a star rating and be sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. Thanks for joining us for this week's Big Three and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small, no question too big.